So, month after month, since September, we have been looking at Jesus, learning and relearning and being reminded of who Jesus is. And each month we've taken a certain aspect of who he is and what he does. Jesus is the bridegroom and the coming king. He is the mighty warrior. He is the good shepherd. He is the prince of peace. He is the Alpha and Omega. And tonight, he is the rock and refuge. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 18, please, and I'll just read one verse. Psalm 18, verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. That's a powerful verse, and there's a lot in there. So we're going to look at two things. We're going to look at a rock, what the Bible says about God, Jesus being our rock, and then we are going to be reminded of why that is important to us. Then we're going to move on to refuge, and we're going to do the same thing with that. Now, obviously, we all know what a rock is. We learned that when we were really little. So picture a rock in your mind, but not a rock that you can hold in your hand, not a stone. I mean, we call all kinds of sizes of rocks rocks, but this is a big rock, okay? So it's not even a rock that you might have in your garden, like a big decorative rock or whatever. You got to go bigger than that. All rocks are composed of minerals, different mixes for different types of rocks, granite, quartz, and then even limestone. A rock's strength is determined by its resistance to fracture when subject to stress. Now, I'm going to read that again, but we have to think about Jesus being our rock when we talk about rocks, okay? A rock's strength is determined by its resistance to fracture when subject to stress. So figuratively, we know that a rock represents stability, it represents strength. And many places in the Old Testament, it speaks of God being the rock. Right before Moses' death, he was speaking words to the second generation of the children of Israel as they were going to then go into the promised land so that they would not forget. So screen one, Deuteronomy 32, for I proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. He is the rock. So way before scripture was ever written, because he's speaking this and then it was written, the children of Israel, God's people, always knew that God is the rock. Strong, stable. Hannah, in her prayer of thanksgiving from the answer to prayer for him giving her a son, Samuel, she spoke in 1 Samuel, no one is holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. Screen two. David, in his praise of God's deliverance, He said, "For who is God except the Lord, and who is a rock except our God? The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let God be exalted, the rock of my salvation." There are so many verses in the Bible on God being our rock, Jesus being the rock of our salvation. And then in God himself speaks through Isaiah, in the next screen, Zach, "Do not fear nor be afraid. Have I not told you from that time?" This is God speaking, "and declared it. You are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? Indeed, there is no other rock. I know not one." This is God proclaiming that he is the rock. "No one who is strong and unmoving." Now, the Bible also speaks about Jesus being the rock and being the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone. And a cornerstone is the first stone in construction of masonry in the foundation. It's the first stone that they lay, and it bears a large portion of the weight of the structure. And it also is the reference point for laying all the other stones, ensuring that the building's corners are at the correct angles and everything. Cornerstones have been used as symbols of strength, stability, foundation, and alignment. He's speaking of Jesus. Jesus is the rock, the chief cornerstone. He's the plumb line. He is the one who you look to build your life on, to get the building right. Now, Peter, speaking to the religious leaders who had arrested he and John for preaching that Jesus is the Christ. In the next screen, "This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone." And he's quoting from the Old Testament. "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone." So Jesus, the rock, the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone, our salvation, our hope, our security, our stability. He is also a rock of offense to those who do not believe in him. The next screen, "As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame." So to those who believe, it's a glorious thing. To those who do not believe, it's an offense to them. So if you turn to 1 Peter, I have a screen for this, but I want everybody to see it in their Bibles. 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'm going to start in verse 4. Peter's talking, "Coming to him, Jesus, as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they were also appointed." Then the Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthians about the example that the children of Israel were in the wilderness, as God told Moses to strike the rock. People are thirsty, strike the rock once, and the water will come forth. And Paul wrote, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. He hit the rock, the living water came out. Jesus and the living water, the Holy Spirit, it's all about Jesus, our rock, our cornerstone. And it's so important for, we know this. If you've been around with the Lord for a while, you know these things. But they're good to be reminded of, because when is the last time we've really meditated on him being our rock, for him being the cornerstone, for he is the rock of our salvation. As I was putting all this together over the weeks and spending time reading, and all these songs kept coming to my mind that we've sung since I was a brand new Christian. So for, 45 years of, oh, you are the rock of my salvation. You are the strength of my heart. Just all kinds that reinforce this wonderful truth. He is the rock of our salvation. Rocks are sturdy. They're strong. They're stable. He is the rock of our salvation. He's the cornerstone. He's the foundation of our faith. It is through him and because of him that we have stability, that we have security, that we have strength, because he is the immovable rock. So our salvation is sure, and it's just a wonderful thing to meditate on. And maybe we haven't in a while. I hadn't in a while until I started this. It's like, oh, this is just so good. I need this, because the more I read about him and the more I meditate on it, the deeper it goes, which makes my foundation go deeper in him. So for a visual perspective, so you put up the number 6 slide. Okay, so that is the largest boulder in the United States. It is the Madison Boulder in New Hampshire, and it's all granite. It's obviously, you can see how big it is. Now, there are other pictures on the internet with the person who's, just really tiny. So this boulder is 83 feet high and 83 feet long, and then 23 feet high and 37 feet wide. That's a big rock, okay? That's really a big rock. You think about Jesus being the rock. That's a big rock, okay? Well, we've got a bigger rock coming. The next slide. This is the largest rock in the U.S. It's number 8 in the world, and if you recognize that, it's El Capitan from Yosemite. Now, most of us have seen that in person, so we do know how big that thing is. 3,000 feet high. That's huge. That's a rock. Just one rock. And it's 1.5 miles wide. That's just awesome. And we just go, oh yeah, that's a big rock. Well, Jesus is our rock. Now, you think this is going anywhere? It's not going anywhere. It's been there for how many years? Then the next slide, this is actually the largest rock in the world. It's Mount Augustus in Australia. This picture doesn't, it's very hard. You'll have to Google it, because there are other pictures where you get the car or the person and you can see. But this is 2,820 feet high, which is a little less than El Capitan. However, It covers 11,850 acres. How do you even comprehend that? In its middle, just the middle of it is 5 miles long. So because I couldn't comprehend how many acres, how big 11,850 acres would be, so I did some math, but it is correct because I used Google and not my brain. So 10,000 acres is about the same as 10,000 of the area of a football field. So a football field is about an acre. So now you've got 10,000 football fields, and this is 11,850. It's huge. It's absolutely massive. And, you know, as I was finding big rocks on the internet and learning some things while I was doing it, you just sit back and you go, well, our God is bigger than that. Jesus is bigger than that. We can't even comprehend how big that is. I mean, where is that rock going to go? Who's going to, you know, it doesn't, it's sturdy, it's strong, it's been tried and for storms and years and all of that. Jesus is bigger than that. Who is going to move him? Who's going to shake him? Nobody. Can't be done. Which means our salvation, it cannot be moved. It is sure. It is sure. Now, Jesus spoke about us building upon the rock. In Matthew 7, it says, whoever hears these sayings of mine, this is Jesus speaking, these sayings of mine. Now, these sayings of mine were he was on the Mount of Beatitudes, and he spoke all of these things and the way that we are to live, the Christian life. So those who hear and take heed to these sayings and they do them, they live their lives like this, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. He doesn't say built it upon rocks, on the rock. And when the rain descended, the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. So when our lives are given to and built upon Jesus, the rock of our salvation, then we have a sure foundation. You're building it. It doesn't mean you're just sitting on top of it. You are going deep, anchored in. And the deeper you go in Jesus, the stronger you are, the stronger, the greater ability you have to stand against the storms of life. And there are a lot of storms in life. We all know that, and some are severe, and some are very long. So the storms come and the winds blow, and if our foundation isn't in Jesus, we're not going to stand. We will be uprooted. We will be blown over. You know, we see these storms. You see these houses that were, you know, built on the edge of the cliff kind of a thing, and the winds came and the storms came and the house went into the sea or down the side of the mountain. The foundation wasn't firm. It wasn't sturdy. It wasn't built to last. And our lives in Jesus will be able to withstand whatever comes our way. Now, Jesus is also a refuge, and the Bible has a lot to say about that, especially in the Psalms. a refuge, a fortress, a strong tower, a stronghold. These are all kind of interchangeable words when we read these scriptures that will either say refuge or that type of thing. But they speak of strength. They speak of a shelter, defense. Typically, these type of refuges or fortresses are high up on a mountain, a rock, a cliff, a high place. They are inaccessible and impregnable place is one of those words in the Hebrew. That's what it means. You can't get through. It is a true safe place, a refuge, a fortified place, a place where one is secure from his enemies. It's a place of safety, protection. It's a place of hope, and it's a place of trust. Now, Moses, after he got the Ten Commandments and God had instructed him and he was getting ready to then move out, at that time, to just move out and to go into the Promised Land. The disobedience with the people came after that, but Moses said to God, "Will you show me your glory?" And in Exodus 33, which is the next screen, the Lord said to him, and I love this. Okay, so you picture Moses, he's up there on getting the Ten Commandments on this mountain, and the Lord said, "Here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be while my glory passes by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock." And you know, cleft is just that little open space that some of these rocks have. It's like it can be a deep cave, but it can just be this little space that you can go in and you're protected. "And I will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." Moses, here's a place by me. And that place by him is Jesus. Jesus is the rock, and he's the cleft of the rock. He is all things. And it's a beautiful picture of God providing, of him revealing himself, and of him protecting also. "That rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." A refuge, a shelter, a fortress. That is who Jesus is. He is the place, and he is the one that we can and we should run to for safety, for protection, for shelter, for provision, for anything and everything we need. And oh, how often we need a refuge. For me, that's a biggie, because I need a refuge all the time. I need a safe place to run and hide, because there are a lot of storms, and there can be storms that come from without, and there are going to be storms that come from within. And we need a safe place. We need a hiding place. And Jesus is it. He is the one. And we run to him. Psalm 61 has been my go-to psalm since I was a new believer. And Psalm 61, the first couple of verses, there are at least three songs that I know that I learned from those few verses. And they're just about word for word. And they were planted deep within my heart as a brand new Christian because I needed a refuge. I needed a safe place. I needed to pour my heart out in safety. And Jesus is the one. Because he loves. He loves me. He loves you. He understands. He has mercy. He has compassion. He knows that we are dust. He has pity on us. He has grace and mercy. He never, ever pushes us away. He never, ever turns his head when we're pouring our heart out to him. He's just right there with us, right there. Tell me, just tell me, pour your heart out. And he keeps it to himself. And then he brings comfort and he brings encouragement. Psalm 61, hear my cry, O God. Give heed to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I cry to you. And when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy, and I will abide in your presence forever, and I will trust in the shelter of your wings. If you have not memorized that, please do. It's a lifesaver. When you don't know what to do or something's hit you, and you can start singing that or quoting that, it's great. And as I said, I've learned three different songs. The first one, I just can't pull up at all the tune to it. And then the second one is the one I learned and sang all the time because my heart was seemed to always be overwhelmed. And so I would sing it and sing it and sing it and sing it. And then later we learned a newer version to that. The melody was so close. It was just kind of hard to, you know, get them, not mix them up. So anyway, I've been trying to pull up the second version in, and it's just like, I've got the later version. I can't do it. I want to sing the other one. So today I was in my car and I just thought, I have to know. So I texted Kit. For those of you who've been around for years, you know Kit. Kit and I used to lead worship for years and years and years, and we used to sing it. And then the new version came out, and we sang that, so I know, of course, he's going to know. So I texted him, I said, hey, I'm in my car, I need the melody for the first one we sang, can you call me and sing it to me? This is something that Kit would do, so it's not like a weird thing. So I waited, oh, I don't know, probably 5 minutes, and he didn't text me back or call me, so then I thought, well, I'm going to text Lucy, because it's before her time, but you never know with her. She's very good at knowing a lot of older songs. So she sent me one. She said, is this the one you're talking about? I said, well, I'm driving. I can't pull it up. And, you know, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, so then Kit finally called me. He's sick, but he's going to sing anyway. So he starts singing, and I'm thinking, this is not the one I'm talking about. This is the latest one, but I'm going to let him finish. You have to let somebody finish. Singers like you to let them finish, because getting cut off, and that first line is, it's awful. It's an awful feeling. So anyway, I said, no, that's not it. Sorry. So then I'm trying to sing the only part I know, but anyway, it was... For me, it was a nice memory thing. But anyway, I finally got the melody. No, I'm not going to sing it, but I've been singing it since then. So reading, singing, meditating on all of this, it brings me, and it brings you, when you're reading those verses, back to a secure place, back to a stable place, back to sanity. Because that's what Jesus does. And when we're able to worship, like singing through the word, it's the best thing. It is the best thing ever. I love worshiping, but you give me scripture that I'm singing, that's the best. So there are so many more promises in God's word. I'm going to go through them. So screen 11. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, Deuteronomy 33. Psalm 9:9, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. In times of trouble is when we need a refuge. That's when you run into that place. Psalm 91, another one that I fall back on all the time. He who dwells in the secret. Oh, I skipped Psalm 46. God is a refuge, our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Most of us have that one memorized. Psalm 91, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. These beautiful pictures of this. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. So maybe before you go to sleep tonight, you should read Psalm 61, Psalm 91, the entire one, and it'll be a great encouragement. But they sure are to me. So a few more scriptures. Now, these are like proclamations. Psalm 18:2, which we read at the beginning, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. I love it because you're making it personal. He is the rock, and he's my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. He's my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. You got rock, fortress, deliverer, strength, shield, salvation, stronghold. He is everything. If you have time later, read Psalm 18:2 in the NIV and in the Amplified. I love doing that because it just kind of brings it out in a different way. Psalm 31:3, you are my rock and my fortress. Psalm 59, for you have been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Psalm 144, blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle, my loving kindness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and the one in whom I take refuge. It just over and over and over again, it strengthens our faith. It builds us up. And while our faith is being strengthened, we're being built up, we're going deeper in the rock. And then these prayers are next. Psalm 57, this is a song too. Kit happened to have put, you know, music to it. Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me. My soul trusts in you, and in the shadow of your wings, I will make my refuge until these troubles have passed me by. I love that. I have prayed that, sang that so many times to the Lord when my heart is overwhelmed and I need mercy, and that place to run to, my hiding place. Psalm 71, be my strong refuge to which I may resort continually. You have given the commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. You just look at this one thing tonight, Jesus, our rock, our refuge. I hope your hearts are encouraged the way that mine has been as I've been studying and reading and meditating on this. He is our sure, stable, safe, secure place, our salvation, our foundation, our hiding place, our strong tower, refuge, fortress, defense, all of it. Aren't you thankful that Jesus is the rock of our salvation? And he is that chief cornerstone. He is the refuge and the cleft in the rock. It is all him. That we have a place to run to. Where do other people go? They go to empty places. Sometimes we run to empty places. We run to the refrigerator or whatever else we do when we're overwhelmed, we don't know what's going on, and we don't know what to do. But I tell you, you run to Jesus, you just fall down at his feet. He is the place of refuge. Your heart is overwhelmed when you get there, and then your heart is overwhelmed with his love and his mercy and his grace and his encouragement. Father, thank you. There is no one like you. Jesus, you are the rock of our salvation. You are our hiding place, that refuge. Thank you that you are there when we run to you. You're there. You're waiting for us. Thank you for your word, for these powerful scriptures. And Lord, I pray that if anyone here tonight has been overwhelmed with their situation, the storms, the wind, the whatever in their lives, I pray that Lord, you would build them up in these truths and that you would show them, Father, it's only you. Nothing else can do that in our lives. It's only you. We praise you. Praise you. That we are safe and secure in you. Our salvation is sure. You keep us. You are a keeping God. We praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and close in this song.